Hello and welcome to another episode of Monday Mile, your walk and talk podcast, your source of moving motivation. I'm your host, Amy Fuller, and today's guest has some of the hottest news in showbiz. She's danced on the Strictly ballroom floor for 8 years. She's Latino. Mm-hmm. She's fun. She's feisty.
She's tiny.
I love it. You're doing your own intro. Yeah. And she is the fresh face of BBC It Takes Two, Jeanette Manrara. Welcome to Monday Mile.
Well, I mean, if I can have that intro every time I walk into a space, that would be pretty epic. I'm going to take that and just take it with me every time I walk into a new spot.
Yeah, it was good. I like the fact that you added to it.
I added the tiny bit.
I don't really think of myself as short. But
we're the similar heights, you know.
I think I'm taller.
You are. Everybody's taller than me. It's like, I'm getting used to that now.
And I've got my platforms on, which are shredding my feet.
These are platforms. Sneakers as well.
But we're here. Where are we?
We are in Enfield Park, which is not far off from where Ali Ash and I live. And I discovered it in lockdown because Ali Ash and I are not big on athletics.
See, I would think, and I'm sure most of your fan base would imagine quite the opposite.
No, I had to start falling in love recently with going to the gym and working out. And I lived my life in theaters or in TV studios. So in the first lockdown, when there was none of that, Ali Ash and I discovered this park and it became kind of our new little escape. We love it here. It's so pretty.
Your little sacred heaven.
And it's not far from home, which is nice, which makes it easy for us to get to. But yeah.
Do you actually walk here?
No way. We're so lazy. We Uber here and then we walk in the park.
Love that. Well, at least we're going for a little walk today. Yeah. And I can imagine the two of us, we may end up walking our feet off. But yeah. Let's see where we get to. So you're not originally from North London. Take us back to the start, back to your roots in Miami.
Well, I was born and raised in Miami, first American born of my family. They left Cuba, you know, to come to the USA to just kind of have freedom, you know, because they weren't excited about the communist government that existed in Cuba at the time. So they came to Miami in this hopes of like, Jeanette and our family's gonna have all their dreams come true and they can do whatever they want because it's a free country. So that was always kind of a thing growing up, to dream big, to be free, do what you want, chase after your dreams. And since I was little, that was all the family did, and dance. My grandparents danced, my aunt and uncle danced, all my cousins danced, everybody in the family.
So you're from a dancing family?
The whole family dances, yeah. I always say that as soon as I started walking, I started dancing, because it was like I was dancing on my dad's feet when I couldn't walk, and then I was dancing with my dad when I could walk. So dancing is, I mean, it's part Cuban culture. We created the cha-cha-cha, we created the rumba, we've had a huge part in salsa as well. So I think there was no choice but for Jeanette to dance, I don't think.
Amazing.
Yeah.
You've probably heard from Katia, but I'm probably the least coordinated
person. I honestly feel like anybody can dance.
I'm yet to believe it.
Me and Katia, man, we're full on believers that anybody can dance. If you just give enough time and effort and dedication, anybody can dance, seriously.
Okay.
So there's hope for you.
There's hope for me. Yeah.
There's hope for you.
So how did you find your way onto the Strictly dance floor? I can imagine that process, that journey. Obviously, it's not the end goal, and we're going to get to that, which is really exciting. But how did you find yourself on one of the biggest shows on British television with your partner, Ali Ash? Like, that's got to be...
It's still like, what? When you say it like that, it's like, what? Do you know, I mean, it started with musical theater. When I was a kid, I used to put on shows for my family. I used to grab all the blankets, give my cousins roles and be like, so you're going to play this and you're going to do that and you're going to do this and we're going to sing this song. I was quite bossy and made my family watch us every Christmas or Easter or birthday party, whatever it was, I'd put on a show. So when I was 12, my mom found out that there was a musical theater program that was connected to a TV show called Sábado Gigante, Giant Saturday, which was a Latin like sensation back in the day. And I auditioned for it and they took me on. And it was so cool because the musical theater program allowed us to sing and dance and perform on the TV show. So I've been doing television since I was 12, really. I've been working in TV. And
TV felt really easy. I don't know. I love being in front of the camera. I love dancing. Love a little chat. Yeah. And so my mom was like, okay, she's found her little calling there. But in the long run, I turned 18. My family, you know, we were tight with money always growing up. We lived with my grandparents at one point. Mom, dad, my brother and I, we all lived in the master bedroom with my grandparents in another room and my uncle in another. It was just tight growing up.
Yeah, wow.
So when I turned 18, my mom and dad were like, you know, we love you, but you got to start pitching into the family now a little bit. Get out.
See ya.
No, and so I graduated high school. The musical theater program kind of shut because I was 18 then and it was a kids program. The gentleman that did the dance program was like, you can really dance, you know. And I was like, can I? I mean, I love it, but it's a bit late to start a professional career, isn't it, at 18?
Yeah, that is quite late,
actually. And he was like really believing in me. And he's like, no, I feel like you could do this. And so my parents as well, they were like, Jeanette, go for it. If it's something that you want to do. And I needed an outlet because at that point I had graduated high school. Like I said, I needed to get a job. So I started working full time at a bank and I got a full scholarship to uni. So I have a semi degree. I didn't finish it in finance.
That's a serious transition.
Oh yeah. So I was working at a bank in downtown Miami, amazing building, beautiful, in Brickell Avenue, which is one of the nicest.
We like dancing on the way in.
I was dancing in my seat. I used to annoy all the ladies that worked around me because I'd like blast music and like, Jeanette, put the radio down. But it was tough because I had to work, but I was always really academic. I really enjoyed going to school. I still love learning to this day. I'm getting my well-being degree now.
Cool.
So I've always liked studying and learning, but dancing was always kind of my biggest, you know, this is what I want to do. Yeah.
This is what I'm good at.
And so it's a really long story, geez, sorry. I auditioned for a TV show.
People want to hear it.
And I auditioned for a TV show called So You Think You Can Dance. They actually did one in the UK a couple years back. And the first year I didn't get it and I was like super gutted because I got all the way to the final round. And then they called me back and they're like, could you audition again? And I was like, surely if the producers are calling me, it's got to be a good sign, right?
So, yeah, I mean, of course.
I went back, I auditioned again the second time, got into the show, made it into the top 8, went on tour with the show. It was amazing. And then my job at the bank was like, do you want to come back? Because you've still got your job with us. And I was like, no, thank you very much. I had the job ready. And that was, for me, one of the biggest choices I've ever made in my life. Because I had I was working on my degree in finance. I had a full-time job that had like retirement plan, insurance, everything, the lot. Like I was...
That safe it was stuff like that you don't get as a freelancer.
No, it was all like there. I had my own apartment. I had my own car. I was living kind of like the American dream in that sense, you know, like making my family really happy with my success and going to school. But at the same time, I had this like crazy dream that I wanted to see the world. I wanted to travel around the world. At that time, I had only been to New York City and a couple of the states in the USA on tour, but I had never really left the USA and seen the world. So I always was like, oh gosh, if I can get out and like just see different parts of the world, it would be amazing. And dance and do something in the art. So my mom and my dad, they were my biggest, honestly, my biggest supporters. And that's really rare. You don't find parents that say, you know, give up your job, stop going to uni and chase your dream. You know, it's the opposite.
The ultimate.
Yeah.
It's the ultimate if you've got something that you're passionate about.
Yeah.
And that you want to chase and they support that. That's unreal.
Yeah. So they really kind of...
They must be chuffed. They must be so proud.
They gave me the green flag. Go.
Like the nod, the seal of approval.
Fly.
Go. Travel.
Yeah. And so I moved to LA, quit my job, moved to LA, took all the money that I had saved up. And that's when kind of dancing became my priority. Only dancing. And only working as a freelancer. And as you can imagine, it was scary. It was some months at the bank account, I was like, I don't know how I'm gonna eat. But my mom used to always say, don't worry, the universe finds ways of making things work out one way or another.
And too true.
Yeah, and she was right, because then I auditioned for Burn the Floor. They reached out to me. It's an amazing Broadway show and West End show, and they were doing a world tour. So I was like, this is the moment. And so I auditioned, got the job, moved to London in 2010, that was. Came to London and performed for the first time ever in the West End in 2010 with the show. And
that's quite the transition from like the sunny shores of
Miami. to
North London. No, London is the best.
Do you know what, though? I still say London is one of the most beautiful cities in the world. It's my favorite city in the world.
I love it.
Now that I've traveled loads, I can really say that truly, wholeheartedly, it's my favorite city in the world, especially in the summer.
Oh my God, it's the best. I don't understand why people go on summer holidays in the summer. As a snowboarder, it makes perfect sense to me to go somewhere hot in the winter.
In the winter, yeah,
to
you're
actually,
right.
To actually like get away from the cold, dark nights.
Yeah, yeah. But I fell in love with London the moment I stepped foot on it. And I remember my first apartment here was right next to Big Ben,
like
right
way.
By Parliament. So I woke
right
up in the morning. Yeah, and I would look out the window and I would see Big Ben and I would see Parliament and I was like, I am literally living the dream. And so that's when Strictly caught me. I went on the world tour with the show, but we did the West End twice. And the second time that we came back to do Burn the Floor in the West End, which was in 2013, producers of Strictly came in to watch.
And did you know they were there?
I did. Do you know what I know with the funny story is? Because I never actually competed in Ballroom and Latin. I can dance it, I can teach it and all that, but I never actually competed in it because I took it more on like an artistic side. I like the storytelling of it, the movement quality of it, not necessarily the competitiveness of it, you know? So when they came to watch the show, the last person I thought they would offer a spot to was me. So I was going like, well, I'm chilling. You guys are all stressing because all the producers are in and I'm totally fine. And I think maybe it was that kind of like suave, like not stressed
the mentality
feeling.
Of
they
not
approached
being worried. That's mad.
Yeah. And the crazy bit, I know this is why I like this part. It's like a little jungle. And the crazy part with that is that I really was rooting for Aliash because I thought, geez, if Aliash gets it, this would be amazing. Because then I was offered to do Dancing with the Stars in the USA at the time, but I couldn't take the contract because I was doing Burn the Floor.
Right.
And I thought, well, if Aliash at least gets it, then maybe we can see each other when I'm off doing, I don't know, we were going to try and do the whole long distance thing, which was going to be really hard on our relationship, but we were going to give it a go. So the moment that they called and offered it to both of us, we were like,
no way.
OMG, this is the best possible situation because we can stay together, we can dance, we can create.
That is amazing.
And, you know, we always have this thing, Aliash and I, that we say that Strictly Come Dancing, there's no Strictly curse for us. It's a Strictly blessing. Because it's what saved, really saved our relationship. We've been able to now get married and make a home for ourselves here in London. Yeah, so it's been an amazing journey thus far. 8 years later.
8 years later, and we're fresh into some hot news.
I can't.
Like, seriously, that is so amazing. Your new role on It Takes Two.
Yeah.
Tell us about
can't believe it.
That journey. Like that is wild, but most people I would imagine would just think, oh cool, she's got a good personality, she's an amazing dancer, and it's a given.
Yeah.
But it's not a given, and you've manifested your position. Tell us about Jeanette Talks.
Talks with Jeanette.
Oh, Talks with Jeanette.
So I actually started Talks with Jeanette years ago, and it was because I started dancing so late. I was 18. I mean, I wanted to dance and perform as much as I possibly could. I felt like I need to make up for all the lost time that I wasn't able to do it. But at the same time, I knew I was older, and I knew that my career was going to be short.
Yeah.
So I was always thinking ahead, okay, so once I'm not ever going to be done dancing, but once I'm done dancing to that level, what's the next passion of mine that I would like to pursue? And because I don't stop talking, if you haven't noticed, and I love asking questions and I'm curious and I love people and I love understanding stories and just in general conversation.
Yeah.
And that's why I fall in love with well-being as well, because I think mindfulness and taking care of ourselves and talking and communicating, all that is so important.
So important.
And so back then I started this little YouTube, YouTube channel.
I've had a little look at some of the videos. Absolutely brilliant. Tea with Debbie McGee. And you dressed up in your tennis whites with a headband to interview Judy Murray. Like, that is absolute gold, Jeanette.
And I had a tennis match with her at the end of the episode. It was only a little ping pong one, but we did it. I said, give me some tips. But I did, and I thought, I'm going to put it out there and at least practice my interviewing skills, practice talking to people from all walks of life and all kinds of backgrounds. And obviously dancing was still very, very much a part of my life. So because I was kind of putting it out there already through my YouTube channel and through my chats and all that, it did take time. So when people say, oh my gosh, how lucky are you that you've got It Takes Two now?
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't think it was luck either. You know, there was a lot of grafting put into that through the years.
Talks with Jeanette started 6 years ago.
Yeah, it did. It did. That really kind of gave me the understanding of what it's, if this is something that I actually even wanted to do. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I did. I always fell in love with every single person that I spoke to, every single person I interviewed. The first lockdown that we were in, I think I interviewed like 60 or 65 people on my little live Talks Instagram. With Jeanette that yeah. I did on Instagram. And I just loved it so much. And I thought, you know, maybe one day this could be something that I could step into. So when It Takes Two offered me the position.
So was that totally out of the blue?
It was totally out of the blue.
You didn't have any inkling that there was even a possibility?
No way.
So
no.
When did you find out?
So the producer, our EP of the show, her name is Sarah James. She's the EP of Strictly Come Dancing. And she is, honestly, I cannot have, all the pros agree with me. We could not have asked for a better boss. She's just constantly on our side. And the
shout
most
out to Sarah.
Big shout out to Sarah. We love Sarah. And everyone loves her. She's just the best boss in the world, really. And she's known for a couple of years that this is something that I would like to eventually end up doing.
You're there in the green room with the camera.
I'm like, she sees me doing my little YouTube videos and like and doing all the thing. And so when Zoe stepped down, she was the one that reached out and was like, do you know what, Jeanette? I think you'd be fantastic for this. And her first thing was, I'm going to selfishly say I don't want to lose you as a pro because I want to have you as a pro. But if this is something you'd love to do, I would more than happily give you my blessing to go ahead and do it.
Wow.
And I started crying because there were so many feelings there because I don't want to stop dancing. The idea of leaving Strictly Come Dancing was like such a gut feeling to not do. But at the same time, an opportunity like that. I mean, it's a talk show about dancing. I couldn't have asked for a better job, really. So,
and how cool will that be to still have one foot in the door with the Strictly family? It's got to be the perfect transition.
Yeah, yeah.
To the bigger goal, which I've heard you talk about openly, which is to have your own talk show.
I would love to have my own
Tell
talk
us
show.
A little bit about, first off, the quote that you live by.
Yep.
And whoop.
Whoop! You like whoop?
I love it.
I love whoop. It's a good little system, isn't it?
It is. But as someone in the public eye, to put your dreams, your personal goals out there publicly, this is pretty bold, girl.
I know, but you have to manifest. I really believe in putting things out into the universe and like sharing your aspirations and sharing your dreams, because the more you put things out, the more bit by bit things will start coming in, you know? It was one thing to say it to yourself and like keep it in there, but the more you share it and the more you express it and the more you want to learn and the more you want to gain knowledge from other people that are doing it, it's just going to eventually, hopefully, come one way or the other.
And this transition is the perfect example of that.
Yeah. So in a way, I kind of feel like I've already got my own little talk show now on It Takes Two. You know, I'll be there on the couch talking them with everybody. But I think my favorite quote in the world, and I've got it, it's on my vanity and I look at it every single day. It's like my mantra. And in the morning and at night, I just see it and I read it. And it's a constant reminder in my mind that all our dreams can come true if we have the courage to pursue them. And that's by Walt Disney, which I'm a mega Disney fan, by the way.
Tell us a little bit about this sort of relationship with Disney. Again, I've seen Talks with Jeanette goes to Disney.
Oh, yeah. We went to Disney many times.
Does Aliash like Disney, or is this a one way? Have you forced him to like Disney?
To be honest with you, in our wedding vows, he actually had one of his wedding vows was, I swear to take you to Disney once a year for the rest of our lives. Yeah.
So growing up in Miami, did you go to Disney?
All the time.
Just casually?
I think I've done the math because I've definitely gone one year of my life, once every year of my life, except for last year, obviously, because everything was shut.
So would you just pop to Paris from here?
I would, yeah. I do. After I got married in London, Aliash and I got married and we had what they call a mini moon.
Yeah.
We went as a whole family to Disneyland Paris and spent 2 days in the park. And they gave us this really beautiful like bride and groom room right by the castle.
Amazing.
It was amazing. They opened the park. Oh my gosh, I cried. They opened the park 30 minutes early just for us to take a photo with Minnie and Mickey by the castle.
Who's your character?
I know it's a classic, but I'm Mickey Mouse. He's my favorite.
He's a dude.
He's the king.
Yeah.
He's the one. Him and Minnie. They're the king and queen. No, but my favorite princess though is Ariel. She was always my favourite, the Little Mermaid.
Yeah, the Little Mermaid. I just love the Little Mermaid.
But do you know what it is about Disney? I feel like...
It's magic.
It's magical, and there's one of my favourite things, and it's so good for our well-being as well, is nostalgia. When you like take a moment to reminisce on beautiful memories or things that you've experienced in your life, and you bring them back just even through thought, immediately you feel good. Immediately you feel happy. When you think of like one of your best holidays or one of the best night out with your mates or like one of the best Christmases with your family, you think about it and immediately you start feeling good. It creates all these awesome endorphins in your body. And nostalgia for me is every time I go back to Disney, because I remember being a kid and going on the rides and getting excited to see all the characters. I still want to get Mickey Mouse's autograph now when I go and take a photo, and I can still get just as excited as I did when I was five.
That is absolutely brilliant. I love that, Jeanette.
Yeah.
Your switch off place, your happy place.
Honestly, I turn into a 7-year-old when I go back to Disney World.
And do you like all the rides and stuff?
Oh, yeah. I love a roller coaster. I love all of that. Yeah, yeah. Even those little silly kid ones, because I love looking at Snow White and the dwarves as well. But Aliash, I made the mistake.
I wonder if you can convince the Mickey Mouse to come on It Takes Two. I mean, that would be...
That would be... I think I might... Like, I can die after that.
I wonder if that can be arranged. Sarah, what are you saying, girl?
SJ, come on.
Sort this out. I'll give him a call after this. Okay, don't worry about it. He's definitely in my
phone. He's on speed dial.
Yeah, he's definitely in my phone book. Take us back to the Strictly dance floor. You've had 8 amazing years, such a contrast in different characters. And then, of course, your last season with Harvey. Oh. You guys were electric.
I can well up when I think about it. Oh. It's just been such an amazing 8 years of my life. Like, I couldn't have asked for a better group of celebrities to have shared all those years with. I mean, all the way from Julian McDonald was my first dance partner on the show. He's a British fashion designer. He made my wedding dress. Do you know, he designed and made my wedding dress. That was his wedding gift to me. He was the best bridesmaid on the day because he kept fixing the dress for every photo. But like, even now, last night, I literally just did a performance with Ranj, Dr. Ranj. Harvey and I called Harvey and I told him the news that I was doing It Takes Two before it came out. Like, Jake Wood always invites my family over when they come to visit, and we have a big dinner with Jake Wood and the family. I've really created some awesome, awesome friendships through the years with all my partners on the show. And that's all thanks to Strictly. I would have never met these incredible people if it wasn't for the show. And not just that, to see them fall in love with dancing was extra special. I think Ranj to this day still takes dance lessons. He still wants to dance. He's like, I'm not leaving the Strictly forever. That was the hardest bit about accepting this awesome job that now I've got, is the realization that that part is not going to be there anymore for me. But
it's a quick transition as well, because in sport normally you kind of know at the back of your head, you're like, yeah, this is like going to be my last Olympics, or you know, you don't maybe go around shouting about it, but it really does sound like this has totally just come out of the blue. So
well, you know what,
not out of the blue.
I mean last year, right, when I was dancing with Harvey, I'm a believer in like the universe and alignment and energies,
me
and
too.
Things just happen at the right time for the right reason. And there's this one song that Harvey and I danced to. It was the last dance, funny enough, that I ever did on Strictly with a celebrity.
In the final,
and it was One Singular Sensation. And that song was one of the first ever musical theater songs that I learned and performed when I was a kid.
It's and then, me like tingles.
Honestly, and then I did it again on So You Think You Can Dance on the show when I was competing. Then I did it again on Strictly on the day of my birthday in Blackpool Tower, like a couple years back. And then it was the last one that I danced with Harvey. So right before we danced it, I had this gut feeling like, if this is my last one, I'm gonna go out happy as heck, because it was perfect. He danced it perfect. The song means so much to me. We looked epic in those gold sequin tuxedos. I mean, you couldn't have asked for a better last dance, really. So I kind of felt that funny feeling of like, if this is the last one, I'm cool. I can bow out, because it was so emotional and epic.
Bow out very gracefully.
Yeah.
But you're not out. You're still in.
I'm in.
So cool. You're still part of the furniture, part of the family. Do you reckon you'll slip your dancing shoes on? Is that possible? Could you go and do like the odd group number, or is it?
No, I think like once you're not a pro, you're not a pro. You're out.
No.
But I am begging. I'm begging my old, she's my old boss now. I'm begging Sarah, the amazing Sarah, to just let me do one last dance.
Surely.
One final goodbye.
There's an exception. You you've sort of written a new journey, even for, I think, the rest of your castmates, in the sense that it's possible to transition from dance into another element of show, which yeah. I think is rad.
Do you know what? It's funny you say that, because Ali Ash and I were literally having that conversation today about how the BBC giving me the chance to do It Takes Two just gives kind of inspiration to all the pros that, you know what, after you're done dancing, yeah. There's so many other possibilities of things that you could do that could still be surrounded in the show. And that's so nice to know that, like, the BBC are going to look after us and take us on to the next chapter of our careers. It just feels so good to know that they've got our backs like that, you know?
And that's huge.
It's huge, because as a dancer, you kind of go like, well, when you're done dancing, now what? You know, what happens next? Do you just teach? Do you just, you know what I mean? Do you just open a studio? Do you just, what do you do?
So, as a Latino Cuban lady, you are writing history.
I think also that that's something that matters a lot to me. You know, growing up as a kid, there weren't many Latin women that I can say were in the TV world or in the capacity of television the way that I would have liked to have seen them. They do exist in Spanish television. There's lots of really great presenters and TV hosts and obviously actresses. I mean, I'm obsessed with J-Lo. She's insane. She's a woman of many, many, many traits. But, you know, there wasn't many women in American or English speaking kind of television world that had roles of something like Oprah, for example. Yeah. I loved Oprah. I loved talk shows like Ellen. Listening to them talk was just so cool. And I was like, I want to do that someday. But it didn't exist anywhere. Any Latina woman doing that anywhere. So I feel like in a mini way, I'm kind of creating that path for Latina women, period, to be more involved in television. And right now we're in this kind of world where diversity and being inclusive is so important that it's awesome to know that as a Latina, BBC have given me the platform to do that, you know, to showcase that.
So epic.
Yeah, would love to do talks with Jeanette that focuses on well-being and mindfulness and being present. And I think mental health is a conversation that is so big at the moment because of 100%. What the year that we've all just had. So looking after our bodies and our minds has never been more important.
No, it really hasn't.
So I'm definitely going to keep doing that for sure.
Cool. And in terms of your own mental health and well-being, so you've gone from dancing full-time on a show from September to December, and then you're normally on tour, and you guys are always moving.
We don't stop moving.
No, you don't. Like, in terms of location and physically. So what's the plan now for you? Do you think there'll be a bit of a transition period? Are you going to keep dancing for fitness? Have you got another outlet that you like to expend energy through?
Well, do you know what? I have started falling in love with running on the treadmill and listening to a good podcast. I listened to yours. Thank you very much.
That's why we're here today.
Yeah. So I love getting on the treadmill and just listening to inspirational chats or conversations about well-being and mindfulness, which is all the stuff that I'm really...
Why a treadmill? Why not outdoors? That's
this
what
is
I was
just because I'm lazy. Because all I think is, gosh, if I have to run that way, I've got to run all that back. Whereas in the treadmill, I'm like, right, this is going to be 25 minutes. I'm going to run at this speed. And if anything happens, I'm just here.
I'm just here. It's good. It's safe. Safe zone.
It's a safe zone.
But then do you not have to get to the gym, or do you have a gym in your place?
I do go to the gym, and I take an Uber.
So my theory with running it, or walking, so I like listening to a good podcast as well when I go for a little trot. And I just feel like it's so easy to just walk out of your door and just go. And then you're back in 25 minutes and that's it done.
Uh-huh.
No Ubers.
But that's walking, right?
No, trot, a run.
Oh, do you run? Trot.
Trot, run.
Gotcha. This is going to be fun and It Takes Two, by the way. All these like English sayings. I'll be like, so what is happening again?
Can definitely help you with some of the snowboarding vocabulary. Through the years, actually probably through Americans, I've got a lot of random words.
Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely 100% going to keep dancing. Ali Ash and I have our tour that's still going to happen next year.
Ace.
Remembering the Oscars, which has been postponed twice.
Oh, man.
So we're
finally
going to, hopefully, fingers crossed, be able to put it out there for everybody to see next year. And who knows? I mean, I definitely still want to keep performing and being on stage and singing, dancing, acting is always something that I'm very, very passionate about. And I don't think that's going to go away at all anytime soon. I'm just so grateful that now I've also got the ability to do something that I'm really passionate about through talking with It Takes Two. So it's an exciting new chapter. I'm nervous, but
so
I'm excited.
For that, will you have any sort of training, or are you kind of just thrown out into the wild?
It was a big test for me. to do Morning Live because you have, you know, everybody's in your ear and there's got questions about, you know, either the health or politics or the news or, and I loved it. I loved the buzz and the nervousness of like, okay, it's live. What's going to happen now on the TV? You know what I mean? It was an amazing kind of lesson as well to see, again, if this is something that I really enjoyed doing. And I loved it. I loved it. I remember Katya messaged me the first day I did it and she's like, how did you feel? And I was like, I felt like I was home. It was weird.
Yeah,
I really
so
loved
epic.
It.
And yeah. sat on the sofa with your old colleagues, yeah. your dance partners. Surely it's going to feel pretty cushy. You're like, Katya comes on. You're like, all right, mate.
All right, mate.
Do you think it will be hard to slice that friendship a little bit and make it more like a full-on interview approach?
But
or
no.
are you going to keep it cash?
I want to keep it cash because that's the whole point, is to sit there and make them feel
at home
when they sit on the couch across from me. I want the celebs and the pros to feel like they can just relax and talk about the weekend, good or bad, tell me their personal journeys, what's been going on, ask all the questions that people want to know, but at the same time make it really conversational because they're my mates, you know what I mean? So I'm
Unreal.
Really excited for
that. Is literally the dream. If there was I can't imagine what the equivalent would be for myself, but I'm
gonna... you're doing Olympic mile, aren't you?
I am. Manifesting it. But this is an example of manifesting what I wanted to do. So yeah, similar to Talks with Jeanette, we got the walk on the Monday mile out and about because I don't like to sit in front of a computer screen. So that's the theory behind this. And you mentioned the importance of mental health. Mm-hmm. Well, we have spent so much time the last 18 months doing interviews, Zoom calls, all in front of a computer. So to be able to take the conversation outside when we've just been through that, I think it's
awesome.
Good.
It's such a great idea. I'm happy. Thanks. And I'm getting exercise as well. I had a great chat and I'm getting a bit of a workout walking around the park.
Yeah, I reckon we've almost done 2 miles, you know. So seeing as you've hung up the dancing shoes professionally
on the Strictly Dance Floor, that's the only way I've hung them up.
But we're still going to see you dancing. Yeah. We're still going to see you dancing. Can you tell our listeners who the toughest judges now that you're not going to be judged anymore?
Ooh. Everybody would want to assume it's Craig, right? Because he's just the toughest and the really hardest one to pull out the higher numbers when it comes to scoring. But I've always been the most scared of Shirley. Yeah. Just because she's the head judge, she's the Latin queen, she knows her stuff more than anyone. And so I always remember like the last few years going on the floor going, oh, I hope Shirley likes it, you know? I hope all of them like it. I love Motsi. I think Motsi is like an incredible audition.
She has got an amazing energy.
But I like Motsi because she's critical, but she's like kind of like positive reinforcement, you know?
Which
she
is
makes
the vibe,
you feel good.
The vibe of the show, right?
Yeah. She really hit the nail on the head with the way that she helps the celebs, you know, kind of feel good and also teaches them and gives them guidance. And Shirley in the same way does that, but she's like, I don't know, she feels like a school teacher, you know, like you just want to get a good grade on your exam.
Head teacher.
yeah. So she for me personally, she was always the one that I was like, I hope she likes it. I love all the judges. I've known them for years now. I'm not gonna lie, I really miss Len. Was such a part of the show for so many years. And Aliash and I got really close with him through the years. So when he left the show, we were really sad. But we still keep in touch. We've seen him a couple of times here and there, which has been pretty cool.
Nice.
Yeah. Same with Darcy, actually. I saw Darcy not long ago. Me and Darcy, because she was ballet trained and I have ballet training.
Yeah.
I always had a really nice connection with Darcy as well. But I wouldn't say... I mean, Craig is always the one to watch out for because he's just the toughest one to please. He will find something.
Something.
I remember.
I swear, if you're really good... It just makes it harder.
Oh, it's worse.
The times I've watched it, like, for example, with Harvey or Karim,
Ashley,
even.
Robert, they've all had a
tough
time.
And you're just like, oh, good luck. I feel sorry for you.
I'll never forget, we were in Blackpool and Amy and Karim did this insane Charleston that all of us were just screaming at the top of our lungs watching it happen. And we were all like, surely now we're going to get a 10 from Craig. Because, I mean, he cannot do more. That was just epic.
Yeah.
Nah, got a 9, got the 9 paddle. And we're like, ah! We wanted to like run over and grab the 10 paddle, put it up for him. But, you know, I think that's the excitement of the show, is you just never know. You never know. Same as when the year that I got eliminated with Aston was a big kind of like shock to the series, because everybody thought Aston was going to be in the final. And when we got eliminated, it just goes to show you that, like, no matter how good you are, no matter how popular you are, no matter how high the scores are, the voting really is what matters most. People have to love you.
From the public.
Yeah, the public vote is the highest power of all. Obviously, the scores matter, but if people love you enough, even if you get a 2, you're gonna stay in the competition, you know?
You heard it here.
Yeah.
So Jeanette, on Monday Mile, we like to ask all of our guests what their relationship is like with the start of the week, Monday.
Oh.
Now that your world's been turned around, is it gonna change?
Well, at the moment, Monday's a day off for me. No.
Yes.
I have this theory, right? And I've actually talked about it a few times on my Instagram and my socials. My favorite day of the week is Monday. And I know it sounds bizarre, but it's my favorite day of the week because for me, every Monday feels like it's the start of a week. It's an opportunity to start fresh, go towards your goals more, achieve something that you couldn't achieve last week that you really want to achieve this week. It's literally just for me, like starting over again. And so Sunday for me is rest day, which I love, but I love the excitement of Monday because it's like, we're back at work. Right, what are we going to tackle this week?
Do you get that Sunday sort of like, oh, I need to prepare. Even though it's like a rest day, I need to like get ready for the week.
No,
you chill vibes.
Sunday for me is like an X day. There is nothing happening except my sofa and a good film and like catching up with my family. I really think it's important. It's a big conversation and well-being. We live in a society where everything just happens so fast and you just get information fast and you can book this and you can get that and you can order this, you can deliver it, you can get that. Like everything is just so fast paced and news is so fast paced and it's just on constant alert and you're on constant, you know, this feeling of information gathering and moving. So on Sundays I like to do a little like I call it digital detox, where I don't check my emails at all. I put Amazing. Work fully to the side. I'm barely even on social media. If I am, it's only just maybe one or two posts here there. But I really try and switch off mentally.
So important.
You need to, because it's like I said, if you don't give your mind a body and soul that one day of rest, you're not going to be at your full potential the following week to keep working towards whatever it is that you want to work towards. So for me, the Sunday off, or the any day of the week, whichever day that is for everybody, one day of the week where you really disconnect from all that kind of stuff and just allow yourself to read a good book or watch an incredible film, or, you know, go and see your family and put the phone down and like just not be constantly on that and on there is so important. And then when Monday comes, I'm like, bam, checking all the emails. What am I doing next? What's happening this week?
Let's freaking go.
Yeah, yeah.
Sounds like you and Aliash have got like the chief chilling dialed.
Oh, we love chilling.
Cruising to the park, kicking it back with the Netflix.
We are. We really, Aliash and I are quite chill, you know. We're not really big, like I said, on athletics or sports. Our favorite thing in the world to do whenever we get asked, what's your perfect evening with Aliash? Literally, it's to be on our couch with a blanket, some good food, probably delivered from some kind of delivery service so I didn't have to cook.
What are you gonna have?
What's the
ideal in the?
I feel like I should be sponsored by Deliveroo because every other order is from Deliveroo. But I mean, Aliash and I love a Wagamama's.
So basic.
We love a Wagamama's. So every like that, we look forward to a Waggers. We say a Waggers and Netflix. That's the kind of the night for us. It's the best night, and we just cuddle on the couch and watch a good series or a really good film. We're really big film buffs. We love watching movies.
Okay, so on that, I can't not ask you, what's the go-to? What's your favorite film of all time?
Oh my God, this is hard. Well, one of my favorite comedies of all time is Ace Ventura.
Yeah,
I know every single line of that film, which is mad. Any Disney classic, especially the Disney Renaissance films. But I would say my favorite drama is actually Elizabeth with Cate Blanchett. Is it Cate Blanchett? Yeah, I think it's Cate Blanchett. It's such a well-acted movie, and the story of Elizabeth is just insane. And she was such a power woman. We're in an age where women are finally taking ownership of themselves and their lives and their careers and their paths and their futures. And like for her to do what she did then.
Way back when.
It was like way, way back when. I love that movie. Every time I want to feel like, yes, I watch it, you know? It was an amazing film. I mean, I love all kinds of movies. I watch them all. I just watched Cruella. Amazing.
Isn't Cruella DeVille?
Yes. Yes.
I love Cruella DeVille.
With Emma Stone. What a film. Loved it.
So we've heard one of your favorite quotes. that you live by. Do you have any takeaways for our guests tuning in, looking to follow their dreams? Because you are currently paving the way.
So Whoop, I love this because Whoop is something that you can use for a really, really big dream that you want to accomplish, or something as small as, like, you know, you want to change what you eat in the week and be a little bit healthier.
Relatable.
Yes.
For pretty much anybody.
Exactly. And anybody can use it for anything. But really, also, I really like the name. Whoop, whoop. I just like saying whoop.
Gotta get that whoop, whoop.
Yeah. But basically, it's acronym for W-O-O-P, whoop. And the W stands for wish.
Yep.
The first O stands for outcome. The second O is obstacle. And the P is for plan. And so basically with the wish, it's like, what is it that you want to achieve? So let's say, for example, every Monday you want to go for a walk for a mile, like we're doing today.
So that's your cue, guys, if you're listening in, to tune in to Monday Mile every single Monday.
Yes, this is the wish.
It drops at 2 a.m. for the early risers.
Boom, boom. Okay. So this is the wish, guys, to walk a mile every Monday listening to your podcast. And then the outcome is to imagine yourself actually doing it. Imagine, wow, if I actually did that, I would learn so much information.
The finish line.
Yeah, I'd feel really healthy. I'd feel like I experienced nature, because it's good for us to connect to nature. So you think of all the wonderful things that come to you if that wish were to happen, if you were to do that. And the feeling of having that, the feeling of that you get when you start thinking, oh, if I did that, that means I would get this. Or if I walked the mile every Monday listening to Amy, I would not only be learning awesome information about some pretty epic people, but I would also feel really healthy. And then immediately your endorphins start rising, you start feeling good, and you start getting excited because you actually feel it. You're like, it's tangible, this can happen. Then the next O is the obstacle. That's the hardest one, because the obstacle is being real with yourself. What are the things that are gonna stop me from feeling that way? But if you allow yourself to feel those feelings, and then all of a sudden you create the obstacle, you go, oh wow, well, if I don't walk to the park, if I don't set an alarm, if I don't have like nights out with my friend the night before, those are all obstacles that might stop me from listening to you.
And some of them are good obstacles that you have to sometimes hurdle, but balance, right?
But balance. So you really kind of list all the different things that could stop you from feeling the way that the outcome makes you feel and making that wish kind of a reality. And then the P is for plan. So now that we know what the obstacles are that are going to stop us from feeling the way that we feel in the outcome, what is the plan that we make to then change that, stop that from happening? And then that's when you go, right, well, if I want to listen to Amy on Monday Mile every Monday outside, then I'm going to make sure that on Monday I free my schedule just 1 hour on the Monday, no matter what time of the day.
Yep.
I'm going to make sure that on Sunday I don't get too lazy and chilled out and I don't want to wake up and do it on the Monday. And, you know, and I get a good pair of sneakers so I can walk around the park comfortably to listen to the podcast.
Is that my cue to take off my shoes? Because I swear, we've probably walked around this park 10 times now, Jeanette. With most guests, we normally walk for a mile.
Oh.
Like, not even joking.
Oh my God, you've got proper blisters.
I've literally shredded my feet.
Oh my God, I don't have any band-aids. Normally, I'm like Mama Jeanette. I've got everything in my Mary Poppins bag.
Is that your vibe?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to walk with my shoes
off. Get comfy. We're in a beautiful park. You can enjoy yourself.
There's a pond. We could even go
for a swim. We can put your feet in the water. Enjoy yourself.
I feel like that's probably not the cleanest water.
Probably not, no.
But we'll walk through it.
Yeah.
Okay, so we've got our whoop.
Yeah.
We've got our quote.
All our dreams can come true if we have the courage to pursue them, for sure. And if you use whoop while you do that, life is literally your oyster.
Love that.
Yeah.
Jeanette Manrara, thank you so much for joining us on the Monday Mile Walk and Talk podcast. And we are wishing you all the very best of luck with your new, it's not really new, it's
different.
You're different.
Different.
You're a different place in the BBC Strictly family.
Monday Mile listeners, what an episode. If you're walking with us, that was a meaty one. So hopefully you wore socks, because I didn't. I want to say a massive thank you to Jeanette. Strictly season is just around the corner, so do keep an eye out for her on the BBC sofa in her new role as the BBC It Takes Two host. Exciting times ahead. A massive thank you to each and every one of you for joining us each week. You know what to do. Make sure to subscribe, and to see the visual highlights of our walk, do head over to my Instagram at Amy_Fuller. And if you like the sound of this one, and you're new to the pod, do make sure to go back and listen to some of our previous episodes, including the incredible Chris Hoy, the rather outspoken James Smith PT, and the queen of dancing motivation, Katia Jones. Have a good one and happy strolling.